Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, how's it going? This is Wardell Potts Jr. and you are tuned into This Is It, and we're going to mix it up as well. So I'm so excited to be your host today, and we just have a few things going on. So what we're going to do, we're really going to mix it up today. We're going to mix it up first, and then we'll get to This Is It. And so I wanted to, you know, say hello. It's been a long time since I've been on the air with you guys. You know, I had a wonderful pleasure of being on a radio station in Houston on Saturday after our show here, and after Soul Art Wants to Dance, I was being interviewed by a young man in Houston that you know, for Dynasty, and it just was one amazing interview because this young man had did his homework, and I mean he was asking me some great questions, and I love it. I love it when you guys make me think, you know, because it just it's good. Like it's like you're digging in my brain, or you make me dig in my brain, and it's just a wonderful thing. And one of the questions that he asked me was what was my favorite, my all-time favorite song, no matter what genre or anything like that. And I was like, oh man, that's not fair, because I love, you know, like jazz and R&B and pop and you know, just all kind of music, dance music, you know, reggae. I mean, I love it all. So to have to just pick one song, and I did pick one song. I said, well, if I have to, you know, I did pick one song. And that song, you know, so powerful to me. I appreciate Greg, because Greg was there, and he heard the end of it, and the guy made me pick the song, and so the song that I chose was Wildflower, and Wildflower is a song that just really touches my heart because of the lyrical content in that song. New Birth is the group that did Wildflower, and man, oh man, I tell you, the lyrical content in that song is so powerful, and Greg actually posted it on their website, which was real helpful, because as I was, you know, I was just trying to explain to them how, you know, why the song is one of my favorite songs. And then when they saw the lyrics there, they were able to go, oh wow, you know, and they saw what I was talking about. So thanks, Greg, for doing that. It was perfect and right on time, and they needed to hear that. And so thank you, my brother. Thank you, love you much, and appreciate that. And I want to play the song for you guys as well, because I want you to be able to see, because this song is about a woman that's been through a lot, right? She's been through a lot, and but this guy just fell in love with her, but at the same time he's still protecting her, you know, because he knows that she's been through a lot. And so he says, let her cry, for she's a lady. Let her dream, for she's a child. Let the rain fall down upon her eyes. She's a sweet and gentle flower growing wild. It's like, what? Whoa, this guy is romantic, right? And so I'm going to play that for you when we get ready to start mixing it up. But I also wanted to just say hello to Astrid. I know that she's tuned in, and she asked me to play some music for her today. So I will grant you your wish, Astrid. Your wish, man. Your wish, and look forward to doing that. And when I talked to Astrid, in the background, she had Keep On Loving Me playing. I'm like, she said, you know that's my song. I said, well, you and Greg, man, what's going on here? And so, but then she has this album, and we were on FaceTime, and she pulls this album up, and she shows this picture of her main guy. Like, Greg has his main girl. And so her main guy is Luther. Greg's main girl is Whitney Houston. And so it's just so funny because they go back and forth. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm going to have to get me somebody, too, I guess. I don't know. They got to go. I mean, Greg loves Whitney Houston. And also Astrid Luther. Birthday is the same day, so she's like really got a crush on him. And then, you know, she also lost her dad, and so when she lost her dad, you know, Luther had this song called One, you know, I think it was One Last Dance or something like that, One More Dance or whatever the title of that song is. And so, and so she gets to, you know, just really enjoy Luther. But then Greg has pictures of him and Whitney Houston as kids. I just tell you, these guys are, they're busy around here and they're crazy. And so, but we have a good time all the time. And I love the team. I love what God has put together. And they're like in, we're in three different countries. Here I am in the United States, Astrid in the Netherlands, and then Greg is in the UK. And so, and we just, you know, we do our thing. And then Don, don't worry about Don. He's just, he's all over the place, right? And so, and then you got Phoenix. Don't worry about Phoenix. He's all over the place, too. I'm the only one that matters in the United States. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. So, but we, my phone is blowing up. They're telling me things. Okay. You're welcome. You're welcome. And, yeah, Dance With My Father. Thanks, Astrid. That was the song that she, that Luther sings. And she wants one more dance with her dad. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm quite sure Greg feels the same way about his mom. And I feel the same way about my dad. Because there's many times when we lose, you know, someone that was always there. From the time we were born, they were always there. And so when they go, it's kind of like, what? Are you kidding me? I'll never in this life see or hear their voice again. That's it's hard to you know, to put your head around that. It's like, man. And so I remember at times I would say, Dad, can, if I could just hear you say, and my dad was a pastor, okay? So in my heart, I should know, and in my spiritual walk, I should know that my father is with his father in heaven, right? But for some odd reason or human reason, I just want to hear my dad says that he's okay. It just would put me at ease. And I'm quite sure there's a whole lot of people, right, that feel the same way. Can I just, I mean, I know that's what it says and that's where you're going and everything, but can I just hear you? No. Nope, you can't. And so it's one of those things. But anyway, so I wanted to share with you guys that I had a wonderful interview with a very nice young man, and he's in our group as well. That's how he found me. He's on the Solar Records Radio group, and so his name is Kerry, and really nice young man, and I, you know, he's around my son's age, and so it was very interesting that he loved old school music, and he was playing all my songs. I was like, dude, right before I was going on, and he played Janet Jackson. I was like, I wrote that song. What? And then he played Keep On Loving Me. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? And then he played Deeper in Love. I was like, oh, my God. He's really going after me right here. This guy is good. Good. He played Kerry Lucas, Show Me Where You Coming From. And so I started thinking, because a lot of times we don't recognize, you know, like, some of the things that we've done until other people bring it to our attention. And so I was like, he made me think about that. Like, you know, I mean, Greg's good at pushing it in my face all the time, but that's Greg. I'm used to him doing that. He's good at trying to blow my ego up and keep me up and not let me, you know, fall down. And I appreciate that very much, because sometimes I'm really down. And so as I was listening to, and I get down because I'm human, right? And I think about, you know, my friends and that I've lost along the way, and I have a very difficult time of letting Richard and William Shelby go. I mean, it's hard for me because they've been in my life since 1979, and now they're just gone. Like, what, are you kidding me? So and so sometimes you need friends like that. We need to have people around us that care about us and that that care about what we care about, you know. And so they say, if you want to be a good friend, then you need to be a good friend, you know. And speaking of friends, I want to pray for Astrid's friend over at Dance Radio, Pablo, as he is suffering from a disease that is trying to take him out. But, you know, he has faith that he's going to be okay, that he's going to fight. And so we're grateful for that. I love people like that because, you know, it's about the mindset. Your mindset is so important when you're going through something difficult. And if you give into the disease, or you give into the whatever it is that's pulling you away from your goal, then you lose. And so you have to stand your ground, you know. And there's a lot of people that are just not strong enough to stand their ground. And we, you know, and that's understandable because they're human. They're human beings. And they've found themselves in positions. Now, listen to me. You have to know that we all need to know this, that we all will get our turn. Everybody gets their turn, right? So anytime something happens to someone, that's why it's so important that you're compassionate, because it could be you. Like Greg and Phil were driving. They were coming back from vacation. And right in front of them, right before they got there was a terrible accident. Now, they could have been in that accident. I mean, it just, you know, they were just a little off, you know. So it can happen to anybody, anytime. And you just, first of all, be grateful. And then second of all, be prayerful for other people and love them through it. So we're praying for Pablo over at Dance Radio, one of the DJs there. We just pray that, you know, that God gives him peace, no pain, and at least less pain, and help the doctors to find a way to keep him here, because he's still very young. And so it would be a blessing, a true blessing, if we all pray for him and let God do what he does. He makes miracles, and I believe in that. And so even like this woman that's been going through so much in her life, you know, she ended up with a man who really, really loved her and really blessed her. And so, and he named her his wildflower. She's absolutely amazing. We'll be back right after this.
Possession. I would sit there from the garden to the mine.
Be somewhere around. You see, not only that, you see, I'll be your bridge over troubled waters. You see, the reason why I say this, baby, is because I love you, girl. I love you so much, oh, sometimes I can't even explain. You see, you're like a flower that blooms in any season, and that's why I like to say, you're my flower, baby. You're my flower. Oh, baby. A flower. You're my flower. Flower. It's you, baby.
Oh man, oh man. So guys, you heard that song, right? And Astrid was just pointing out to me on Wildflower that is so many artists have done that song since Skylark. So, but Wildflower for New Birth was their breakout song. That was their big hit, and for me it was I'm not sure because I was just a little guy when they came out, and I believe I was I don't even want to go there, but it was in the 70s, I believe, and so I was pretty young, you know, and I loved them, and of course I love their drummer. Their drummer is absolutely amazing, and just if you ever listen to the New Birth record, if you know what drumming is, if you like drummers, you might want to check this one out. I want to ask you guys something in regards to schools. It seems like there's something really big going on between students and teachers over here, at least here in the USA. I'm not sure if it's happening in any other country, but it's just a mess. And it started back in the Trump administration when it started getting worse, and then it just got worse and worse. And so I'm not blaming Trump. I'm just saying that's when it really started kicking off. I try not to do politics. So let me just see if I could run this by you. So in this situation, was a young lady that she was only like in the fifth grade, and so her mom had called into the school and said that she won't be coming in, and the teacher saw the mom a couple of days later, and he says, you know, your daughter didn't come to school. Why didn't she come to school? And this is the situation. The daughter was in the fifth grade, and she started her menstrual for the first time. And so she was devastated. She's like, whoa, wait, whoa, this is way too much. And she was like confused and scared, and you know, and at the same time, she did not really get along with that teacher too well. So she was like, Mom, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. I just don't. And she said, Mom, I don't want anybody to know. I'm so embarrassed. And her mom was trying to explain to her, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. But at that tender age, you know, I mean, she don't know. She just know this is like, whoa, this is life-changing event. And she was just in shock. So her mom said, I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you. And so when the teacher saw the mother, he was like, so what's going on? Why didn't she show up? Why didn't she come to school? And then she says, Mr. whatever his name is, she said, it's just a personal matter. And he says, a personal matter? And she's like, yeah, it's a personal matter, why she didn't come to school. And then he goes, well, you know, I really need to know. And that information right there is not good enough. So I'm just going to, give her a bad mark for not showing up. And there's a different terminology for that. So the bottom line is that the woman decided she wasn't going to tell him because she wanted to keep her daughter's privacy to herself, and the teacher was very angry, and so he says, well, I'm just going to report it. And that's going to be it. And the mother was really frustrated. So the mother just was like, you know what? we're not going to talk about this anymore. But she went and talked to a friend, and she was like, you know, was I being too hard on the teacher, or was he being too pushy on me? So my question to you is that, is there a point when you have to, you know, and for whoever wants to chime in on this, I appreciate it. But is it that, you know, the point where a parent should be protective over their child the way that this lady was, or does the teacher have the right to be pushy like that and try to find out what's going on? Some would say the mother has the right to protect her child, protect her child's privacy, because once you open up your relationship with your child, a trusting relationship, and you tell your child, I got your back, don't worry about it, and then you go out and you do exactly the opposite. Once the child finds out, they're heartbroken because now they can't trust you. And so she did not want to lose her child's faith in her protecting her. And so then you have on the other side, there's some teachers that are really concerned about their children. They're really concerned about the children that come to the school because some parents are not doing their jobs. They're not taking care of the kids. They're not feeding them. Some come to school hungry. Some come to the school just completely neglected because the parents are doing too much or whatever they're doing, they're not preparing the children to, you know, for school. And so the child comes there, and the teacher is very concerned. So when a parent says something like it's a personal matter, a teacher could easily go to that point where he's just like, well, you know, I need to make sure the kid is okay. I'm not feeling you. So see the dynamics there. You got the teacher. Maybe it's a concerning teacher, but then you have a parent that's got to keep, you know, protect the privacy of the family and her daughter's privacy. And so it just puts you in a really catch-22 situation. It's like, what? Are you serious? You know, and I think that the mom did the right thing. I think that, you know, she has to protect, especially if she has a female child. And, you know, that female thing starts real early with the privacy stuff. And the mother, being a female herself, knows that. So the dynamics of you have these, the mother and the daughter versus the male teacher, he's a male asking about what's going on, I need to know. And she's like, no, that's private. We're not sharing that with you. So you understand the dynamics, right? You see the dynamics there. And so you can understand why the mother would be so protective over her child. I mean, at least I can. But someone made this point. They said, well, you know, I think that the teacher, if they're concerned, they should be able to, you know, to share their feelings. I don't think that they're right by punishing the woman for not sharing. But also, the point was is that the mother should have told the teacher without the daughter knowing, so that the teacher could go, oh, okay. Because this thing that happens with, you know, the menstrual cycle, it doesn't just happen 1 or 2 days. It happens for almost a week. So eventually the child's going to come back to school and it's going to be acting weird. This is something brand new for her. And so the teacher's going to be looking at her like, something's wrong with you. And I, you know, but if the teacher knew, if the teacher had that information, then the teacher could be more protective over her, right? and therefore say, do you need to, you know, you need to leave, you need to go, you know, just be kind of protective and let the child go and do what she needs to do to feel better. So, touchy for me, because I want to protect my child's privacy, but at the same time, I want my child to be okay in school. Now, for whatever reason, the child and the teacher didn't have a good relationship as it was, and so the child would probably believe that the teacher would abuse her once he knew that she had issues. And so she did not want her mother to tell. And so, but it's a crazy dynamic, because we're dealing with this stuff a lot here in the United States, where, you know, the teacher and the students are just not getting along. Just like, for example, there was a sixth grader, that went up to his teacher, and she said, here, you know, you got an A on your test. And the kid was so excited that he kissed the teacher on the cheek. You know, he was reaching up, and the teacher, you know, leaned down to see what he wanted. And he kissed the teacher on the cheek. He was so excited and said, thank you. And then the teacher turned around and reported the child. And it's a sexual assault kind of things. Like, are you kidding me? A sixth grader? They're trying to show how happy they are and how, you know, and they're innocent and they just want to say thank you and they're so excited, and you turn that into sexual assault. You go and report it to the principal, and then the principal is not smart either, because the principal turns around and says the kid has to be on suspension for a week or two because of it. It's like, are you kidding me? The kid's showing love, and you're trying to tell them, no, you can't show love. Wow. I mean, this is crazy what's happening. And I don't get it. I don't understand it, you know, but this is the world we're in now. And it's ugly. It's so ugly. You know, I don't know. It just seems like we need some help around here. Can we get an adult in the room? I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? What's going on here? So all I have to say is, please, please keep on loving me, because I can't do it.
what I'm seeing. Girl, I just had to let you know. I see us leaving. You name it, and that's where we'll go. Did you come here by yourself, girl? Or did you come here with your friends? I'm not waiting on an answer. I was just wondering if tonight, if this is something that can last all night. I hear your body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind. Ain't seen nothing better. The way that you move in, it turns me on. What can I do to get you all alone? Cause baby tonight, I'm thinking we might just give this thing a try. Cause all I'm seeing in my mind is all night. I got a feeling there's more to you than what I see. Got me so curious on what we could be. I don't even know your name, girl, but I'm about to find out. If you just give me a minute, girl, I like to whisper in your ear about tonight. If this is something that can last all night. I hear your body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind. Ain't seen nothing better. The way that you're moving, it turns me on. What can I do to get you all alone? Cause baby tonight, I'm thinking we might just give this thing a try. Cause all I'm seeing in my mind is tonight. If this is something that can last all night. I hear your body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind. Ain't seen nothing better. The way that you're moving, it turns me on. What can I do to get you all alone? Cause baby tonight, I'm thinking we might just give this thing a try. Cause all I'm seeing in my mind is all.
I bet y'all haven't heard that one before, right? Now that song is that's Janet Jackson, on her very first album, and Foster mm-hmm. Silvers wrote that one and produced that one on Janet, and so that's a great album cover.
That is a great album cover too, because that's her with her head out the water. She's just so cute.
Yeah, so cute. I mean, you know, and when we were working with her, she was so quiet and shy and, you know, just like she would almost disappear in the room. She was so quiet. Like, Jen, okay. You know, you remember the TV show she was on before? Do you remember the TV show she was on?
Well, you know, she was on Different Strokes when she cut that album.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. She remember how quiet she was on that show? That's how she was in the studio. Yeah, very reserved, and then all of a sudden, her next album, she was like, I need control. I need to control the world.
What a great album, man. I mean, you had like Foster Silvers. You had, I mean, even Renee and Angela, you know, wrote some songs. I think they did Young Love. You know, you can just tell. You know, when you hear that silver sound and then you hear that Renee and Angela, you hear the strong horns in that. It was just a great album because of course, that pretty much. Now, granted, we knew her as Penny from Good Times. And, of course, she was, you know, she would appear on her brother's variety show when she was a baby or 7 or 8 years old. But we knew her as Charlene from Different Strokes. And, of course. And then she went on and was on Fame. So Janet, she was more into the acting, but we did take, you know, because of her brothers and her last name, we did take her seriously when it came to her music, and it was good.
Yes. And Greg just pointed out that Glenn Barbie wrote that song. Come Give Your Love to Me. So Glenn Barbie is a friend of mine. Very, very, very tall doctor. He's a doctor. He went to school in the city of Philadelphia to get his doctorate. I was like, you go to my home to get your doctorate, and then you come back to California.
Your backyard.
Yeah, you go to my backyard. Because I came to his backyard for my career. He went there for his. And... And he's Asian, giant dude is huge. He's like, I mean, when I shake his hand, it's like I'm shaking hands with a glove, a baseball glove. I'm like, good gracious, dude. but the topic that I was talking about, because you were a school teacher, so you heard a little bit about that. What are your thoughts about it? About the mother versus the teacher?
Well, you know, there's certain things. It's, you know, and I'm a guy, and I understand. You know, well, I understand. No, I don't understand as far as the, you know, having a young lady or having a daughter that, you know, goes through the motions as far as her body. And, you know, I think I'm with the mother on that, you know. There's certain things that you just, you know, you don't let out in the open like that or not disclosed. There's things that shouldn't be disclosed to an outside entity. So, but again, understanding the situation, it took me a chance to kind of think about it, but I want to expound. I would like to expound a little bit more, but just tell me just the gist of it, and just remind to the people what you were saying. I know for those of us who just tuning in.
Yeah, well, I was just saying that I believe that the mother or any parent, you know, they have a responsibility to their child. You know, we talk about a young child to protect them. And when a child, when and so, and you're developing your relationship with your child as they're growing. And if you're dropping the mm-hmm. ball right in the beginning after you've told the child you would, you know, wouldn't say anything and you would keep it between you and the child, then the child's dependent on you to do that. And so the mother did the right thing, I think, and especially it being a female situation with a male. Now, maybe if that was a female teacher, maybe the dynamics would have been a little different, you know? You know, so, but, you know, it's just, you know, I just think that you have to do that. Now, do you have anything to say about that? Because I was going to ask you a question.
No, just, again, like I said, like I was saying before, I think, you know, there are certain things that shouldn't be disclosed, you know, and as far as to any outside entity when it comes to the physiological makeups of a young lady that's going through a certain physical time in her life or a point in, you know. So I think there's certain things you just don't, again, that's not his, a male teacher, right?
Right.
I'm with the mother on that.
I think that the male
that's a development. It also plays to the development of that, how that child will act. You know, well, not act, but how that child grows as far as problem solving. You know, or what's the word I'm looking for? When that child, whether that child is shy or, you know, how introverted or extroverted that child will be when it comes to situations like that, you know, and when you have grown people that are, you know, and I'm not saying this happened, but when you have grown people that kind of cast aspersions on these situations and things like that, to me, that hurts that child, you know, if that child knows about it. You know, so, and it depends on in their future endeavors of how they deal with certain situations like that. Or when that child has a daughter, you know, how will she respond? You know,
right.
So that cycle will continue.
Right.
But yeah, man, I'm with you on that.
But now what do you think that for a young male, would it make any difference if it was a young male that was having some issues, you know, and what would the issues be that would be, you know, I mean, you know, if he don't just feel good or, you know, or maybe having some psychological issues or whatever the case, the dynamic should be the same in terms of protecting the child's privacy, right?
Protecting, that's all it, to me, it's about protecting the child's privacy and whatever the parameters of that, what you can do and what that parent, the parent is always going to be protected. So that's a given. So whatever's within that realm of trying to protect that child, then I'm all for it. Now, whether it's, you know, I know you're bringing up, like, as far as gender, what if it was a boy that was going through certain physiological issues? I mean, it's pretty much, I feel it's the same way. Now, there may be some different, let's say if the teacher was a female, there are some nurturing qualities that, you know, maybe that female teacher might be able to, not intervene, but kind of come in the factor as far as helping or whatever. But other than that, you know, we're talking about females, young ladies right now. So when young ladies have these moments or whatever, you know, again, it's up to that mother to protect them. Because again, how that mother protects that child is going to take, you know, going to take that to the world when they get older. And again, when these problem solving, when these things happen in the future, how does that, will a cycle be able to repeat itself? So it's just the nurturing quality of women when it comes to, you know, being protective of this, and men too, but, you know, just that nurturing factor of a woman, to me, I feel that it kind of, to me, supersedes, you know, my, me. I feel like I'm a male talking about woman. I feel like I'm mansplaining, but no, from my perspective, you know.
Okay.
And you can take my opinion with a grain of salt.
Okay. All right. So listen, I'm going to change the subject on Ingy right now. So I just yeah. So there was this. I saw this this lady on TV today, and my heart was just was in it. She got me. She hooked my heart. And she was telling her story as a young child. And she is an actress, author now. Viola, you know her? Viola Davis? She had also...
Yes, I'm familiar with her.
Yes. Well, her story, do you know her story? Okay, this is her story. Okay, she's a young lady. She grew up in a very poor neighborhood in the Bronx or something like that, in Queens or something. Very poor neighborhood. They had no electricity or water. No electricity or water. They had hardly any food. The father was an addict, and he was beating up on her mother. This little girl would go to school and get chased home. Get chased home every single day.
Mm.
Every day by boys. And they were throwing rocks at her every day.
Oh, my God.
And this little girl had no one. To that, she said that no one was guiding me. No one told me how this little black girl is supposed to survive in this world. What am I supposed to do, and how am I supposed to be? And she
right.
said she was just, she felt so alone in her own world. And she said, you know, as an adult, when she looks back at all this, she's so embarrassed. And the lady goes, well, why are you embarrassed? She says, because I lived in such a bad way. And I was embarrassed of my parents and how they didn't take care of each other. And my dad beat up on my mom. And, you know, we had nothing and no one taught me anything. And it's really hard for anyone to succeed in life, to do anything well without having someone there to guide you and to show you the way. And she grew up like this by herself, even though parents were in the house. And she got teased all the time. But the great story is that she became a very successful person, but she didn't know that at the time. She would be, you know, looking at TV or reading books and the little kid, Jane and Dick, and playing. And she felt bad that she wasn't like Jane and Dick in the book. And they had a little doggy and a white picket fence around the house. She felt bad because she didn't have that. She was just a little girl that was miserable, right? And so she said that she saw an actress one day, I'm trying to think of her name, a very famous older actor, like very famous a long time ago. And she saw Cicely Tyson. And she saw Cicely Tyson in this movie, an old movie. And she said when she saw her, she was like able to identify.
Yeah.
Because everybody else was different. She said, and I said, well, why did that matter so much? And I'm trying to think of the words that she says. She says, sometimes we need to see physical manifestation of your dreams. So dreams.
Exactly.
Of your dream. And so it's like she needed to see somebody that was, you know, that was like her doing something. And she was doing something so positive, and once she saw that, she ran after that dream, and she held on to it. And I mean, but you know, you just got to think about this person that has been through so much, and you didn't even know her story. But you just see her, and a lot of people just see her just like myself. I just saw her for the first time. I don't know her like you know her.
Go ahead. I think you're on to something here, because, you know, when you talk about Viola Davis and talk about certain, you know, Cicely Tyson people, that, well, the bottom line is representation matters. I think in pop culture, a certain level of pop culture growing up taught us that, you know, what we look like, who we are aesthetically, it's almost doesn't seem important, you know. So there was a standard that felt like a lot of people set. Because, you know, even when you look at those old movies in the back, we was watching the Ten Commandments a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, the people in Egypt and whatnot. And, you know, there's a lot of white actors who kind of bronze up their face, you know, instead of being, you know, instead of having that representation of people of color or black people out there or whatever, you know, you're watching it. And you already have a sense of spirituality, you know, as a child developing or even an adult growing up, that sees that and thinks, wow, did we matter? You know, did even in the Bible time, how were we created? You know, how,
yes.
You know, and it's like it's about a certain level of affirmation, even and again, you can say whatever you want to say about, you know, someone like Bill Cosby. I'm not going to get into the other stuff. But back in the 60s, he did a documentary, I think in 1968. Brown Like Me, or I think it was Black Like Me, something like that. And they talked about the doll test, you know. And it kind of goes back to that when you talk about Viola Davis. So I'm landing the plane. So give me a second. But
yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
Take your time. But you talked about the doll test, and you know, you see a lot of young kids, a young black kids growing up, and don't see an image of them in a certain a mainstream manner. So when you see a white doll, you say, which doll is the better doll? Oh, the white doll. Which doll is the evil doll? You know, a lot of those kids, a lot of those young black kids pick the black doll, you know. And this has been, you know, this is something that, now granted, I think psychologically, you know, we all have our setbacks. I think that's the part of the human experience. But I think when you have a society that kind of brought us up as seeing a certain standard is this right here. This is the standard. It's up here. And you don't see something that someone that looks like you aesthetically, it takes a toll on you as a person. And I'm glad Viola Davis, because I'm sure when Cicely Tyson was growing up, she didn't see it, you know, and she might've saw maybe Dorothy Dandridge or even someone like Hattie McDaniel, who in Gone with the Wind. Now, granted, we can have this conversation about, you know, her playing the mammy and this or whatever, but the fact that she was the first one to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, you know, but the stories that you hear that she couldn't even sit with her own co-stars. She had to, you know, she had to go through the back door. You know, all of these, you know, when you think about these things, you know, and then those roles that, you know, that aren't presented in a positive light to a lot of these kids, even like I said, Viola Davis, I remember her mentioning, you know, seeing someone like Cicely Tyson, seeing Lena Horne, seeing Diane Carroll. One of her favorite movies, this is one of my favorite movies, is Carmen Jones. You know, seeing this all black cast, you know, just being beautiful and, you know, doing what they do. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of positive reflections of us from a mainstream standpoint. And I see where she was coming from. That's the point I was trying to make.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was just blown away because, you know, you just never know what people are going through or what they've been through to get to where they are. And I never knew this lady had been through. Her story shocked me. I was sitting there like, what? And so it's information that, I mean, we need to, at least for me, I know I need to pay attention a little bit more. And I try so hard when I go into a relationship, and I'm going to tell you something that's really private. I went into this, I'm into a new relationship, and my friend, my new friend, just proposed to my other friend and on Sunday. So I did my praise show earlier so that I could be there at this event. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And it was beautiful to watch and to witness because she didn't know that he was going to do what he did at that moment. And to sit there and watch it, and I just remember my tears just come falling down my face. And I say, I didn't plan that. I wasn't thinking that was going to happen. But because it was, I'm in love with love. And when I see love like that, it my emotions can get the best of me, and that's what happened. But my point is so the next day I thought about this. I was like, okay, now this is, it was a great day and everything, but I needed to tell my new friends something. See, my new friends are like a plant. You know, you get a brand new plant and you want to take care of it and you want to nurture it and do everything you can to make sure it's okay and that it does well. And so that's what I said, listen, I can't get over this. I'm so excited. And I said, but I'm going to say something to you. And I said, but I'm taking a risk. I'm taking a risk because of, I don't want you to be mad at me. I don't want to hurt my new plant. I want to take care of it. And my friendship with you is important. And I don't want to lose that. But as a friend, I have a sense of responsibility to you. And so I shared with my friend. And he said, and right before I shared, he says, whatever God put on your heart, Wardell, I want you to tell me. And I was like, whoa. That's good because I'm glad now I feel better telling you. And I said, but I got to tell you that, you know, I love you and I care about you. And I said, you know, please don't shack up because God can't bless that sin. Validate her completely by, if you got to be together, marry her now and have a wedding later. But shacking up, God can't bless that. And he was like, Wardell, that was good. Because I thought about that myself. And we talked about it. We haven't made a decision because there's so much that's just going on. He says, but thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just want you guys all to know that's listening, that we, Don Fleming, we just lost him. So he'll call back in, I guess. But it's my point of saying it is that we don't know where people have been. And it was very difficult for me because I thought, I can't lose this friendship. I like this guy. He's a good guy. You know, I think I've known him now for almost a year. And so, it's still, you know, it's a very new friendship, you know, and I just wanted to protect it. And so I'm just saying that we don't know. I didn't know his story. I didn't know he could have just went crazy. Did he stay out of my bed? He could, you know, but I did the right thing as far as he was concerned. And so, and as far as God's concerned by, you know, making sure that he can be blessed in his relationship with his new wife-to-be. And so that's why I think we should be careful. If we don't know someone's story, we need to be careful how we handle certain things with them, how we deal with them in situations, because, you know, people sometimes can just blow up on you and it could just turn into a mess. So if we could just tread with grace, be gentle and loving and lead with love. So tread with grace and lead with love. I believe that we would all be in a better place because we're taking care of each other. We're looking out for each other and we're not criticizing and beating up on each other. And with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in today. And I really appreciate you guys tuning in and love you very much. Greg, thank you for your flyers, of course. And sometimes we just got to sound off, right? So this show is really about just sounding off and sharing what's on our minds. And so I appreciate you guys for allowing us to do that. And I'm not sure. I think that Don was in a situation there, so I just pray he's okay. But guys, you take care. Greg, thanks again for being there. Astrid, thanks for what you do all the time, and I appreciate you very much for always sending me songs to, you know, to put in the system and posting the music for us here. And once again, we're going to keep Pablo in our prayers, and you know, pray for him, guys. Pray for him. Just take a moment. It just takes a moment. God, please look out for Pablo. Please bless him right where he is. Give him the strength to fight whatever is in his body that's trying to take him away from us. In Jesus' name. Just that simple, guys. Just pray for him, okay? It just takes a moment. But it means the world to him. Okay? All right. Well, you all be blessed. And thanks for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. And we're up and out of here.
Lift every voice and sing. Our path through the blood of the slaughter.
Yeah.
know, it's really crazy. I was just reading this post, and it said that, you know, that parents, too, can be overprotective. I was a teacher for 20 years, and the students would complain if we said hello in the wrong tone of voice. So, you know, I mean, and you do have those, right, that you just can't do right. You can't do, it's just like no matter what you do, it's not good enough. And so that's why it's a tough place to be. My friend that just wrote that was a teacher, and also Don Fleming was a teacher. And so I'm glad to get both of their opinions, because it's a balancing act, right? All right, guys. Well, God bless, and have a blessed one. And thanks again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. Take care of each other. God, please protect our friends and our listeners. We love you much. Amen. Good night. God bless. Love you guys.